Chapter 18. Amanda.
This is a joke, right? Said Amanda.
Do I look like I'm joking? Asked Naomi.
She sat forward, her elbows on the table, her face set in pure determination. Amanda thought of the parting embrace that night in the pizza parlor, the drunken promise. It wasn't just talk. This was real.
What did you do? Asked Amanda.
I sure as hell didn't try to cap him in a crowded subway car. That was never going to work. No, I found his weak spot and used it. The call girls.
What?
I followed him back to his building last night, watched him go up to his floor. Then I took the elevator up there and waited. It didn't take long. The girl left, a petite blonde, ridiculously young. I went in straight after, wearing a red wig, short black leather skirt, halter top, and boots. Doormen don't ask hookers questions. It's above their pay grade. I went to his door and knocked. He opened it straight away, probably thinking it was the girl who'd just left, like she'd forgotten something and had come back to get it.
Amanda studied Naomi's face, taking in every word, every expression. She wasn't just listening to a story. She was living it.
Soon as the door opened, I shot him with pepper spray, she said, reaching for her bag.
She removed a small, thin aerosol can encased in a black plastic hood with a finger grip down one side.
I emptied the whole can into his fucking face, point blank range, said Naomi, and put the canister back in her bag. I closed the door, then I went to the kitchen, took the biggest knife I could find. When I came back, he was still in the hallway, rolling around on the floor, screaming. I got scared then. I thought someone would hear him.
Amanda began to feel a dull pain in her jaw. She sat up straighter, opened and closed her mouth. She'd been clenching her teeth tighter than an industrial press.
But no one came. That's a huge apartment, and I'm guessing it's grade A insulated for his own damn reasons. I stood over him with the knife in my hand. He was on his front, his hands over his face. I'd made a mistake. I'd sprayed too much. My eyes started to water. I could taste the damn stuff. I couldn't focus and my throat started to burn. I knelt down beside him so I couldn't miss, raised the knife over my head.
She stopped talking, swallowed. It seemed to be getting harder to get the words out.
I thought about my darling Rebecca, and I thought about your Jess, and that's all I needed to jam that knife into his back, right behind his neck. He stopped moving then, and the screaming stopped. I took the knife out, had to pull really hard. It was stuck in there good, all the way to the hilt. There was a lot of blood when the knife came out. I turned him over, stuck it in his throat. Then I left.
There's a whole security camera system in his building. They would have seen you.
No. They saw a woman in a red wig who doesn't look like you, who is taller than you, wearing a dark coat, a miniskirt, boots, and gloves. The doorman didn't even give me a second look, I swear. There was a lot of action in Crone's apartment. That doorman was paid to look the other way. He did exactly that when he saw what he thought was another hooker. He wouldn't recognize me. But even if he could, the main thing is he wouldn't recognize you.
Me?
You were at the group session last night with witnesses. When the cops look back at the security tape, they'll see Crone letting me into his apartment and me leaving on my own in disguise. The time of death will coincide with my visit. You have a solid alibi for when the cops come calling. I don't need one because I have no connection to Wallace Crone, and no one would recognize me. I'm telling you, it went down perfectly.
Jesus Christ, said Amanda,
her fingers shaking as she raised them to her lips.
He's really dead?
He's really, really fucking dead, said Naomi.
Have the cops, fuck, the cops will be looking for me.
Of course, soon as someone finds Crone's body. His maid will probably see it tomorrow when she does her house call. So don't be surprised if the cops come see you then.
Amanda felt a lurch in her stomach. The nausea was stepping up.
That's why you've got to return the favor tonight.
Wait, what? Tonight?
Said Amanda. Naomi leaned back, gave Amanda a stern look. Amanda felt it all the way down to her shoes.
It's happening, said Naomi. And you're not going to let me down, Amanda. I did it for you, for Jess and Luis. You've got to do it for me and Rebecca. You talked me into this. You made me promise, and I kept my promise. Now it's your turn.
Amanda swallowed and thought about Crone's absence from the 96th Street station and the fact that he hadn't shown up this afternoon either. He hadn't done any of those things because he was dead. Amanda inhaled, shut her eyes, and thought that the air itself smelled sweeter. He was gone. He couldn't hurt anyone else, and he died in pain. A friend had done this for her, and even though her hands wouldn't stop shaking, there was a strange peace that fell upon her. Suddenly, she felt free. Terrified, and yet free of a demon that had haunted her thoughts every second for months. It didn't matter that she hadn't been there to watch him die. It didn't matter that she'd not been the one to kill him. What mattered was that he was dead. That was a gift. Could she deny that gift to the one who'd given so much to her?
I can feel it, said Amanda.
You can feel what?
His death. Jesus, I'm so relieved, and at the same time, I'm really fucking scared.
You should feel good. There's one less monster in this world. Tonight, you make it two. But I won't lie, this is going to be more difficult than Crone.
Amanda was coming around. Instead of processing Crone's death, she now had to think. Naomi had avenged the murder of Amanda's daughter, the man who had tortured and killed her 6-year-old girl. And that was a release, but she knew it came with a price.
Why does it have to be tonight?
It must be tonight because I just hung my ass out for you. I've risked a life sentence. We're in this together now, in blood. My hands are dirty, and I won't rest easy until you have blood on your hands, too. Then I'll know you won't go to the cops. Then I'll trust you again. You're going to kill the man who raped and murdered my baby girl. The longer you wait, the harder it will be to do it. Also, you're not on the police radar right now.
Amanda felt the world tilting. Now it was as if the entire coffee shop was slowly beginning to rotate. That drunken plan hatched in the hotel bar the other night. It wasn't just the booze talking. This was really happening. And now, Amanda had to kill a complete stranger.
Wait, stop. I'm not ready for this, she said.
You were ready the last time we discussed it. I'm all in, and you're up.
Amanda needed more time to get it all straight in her mind. A few nights ago, in a bar, she had tossed a snowball up a frozen hill, and now it was rolling back down 20 feet high, and it was going to crush her.
I need to take some time. I wasn't expecting this.
You don't have time. It's simple. All you have to do is pull a trigger.
I don't have a gun, not anymore. I ditched it just before the cops caught me on the subway.
Naomi's head sank to the table. She swore, thought for a moment, then looked at Amanda.
All right, then we do it my way, but it has to be tonight.
Why the hell does it have to be tonight? I don't get it.
Because Quinn has to be dead before they find Crone's body. It might take another day, tops, for his maid to find him. But know this, once Crone's body is found, the cops will be all over you. They'll bring you in, sweat you for as long as they can, and when they do let you go, they're gonna be watching your ass 24/7 for a long time. Our plan falls to shit if the cops tail you to Quinn's house next week and arrest you before you can kill him. Come on, you're not thinking straight.
That was for sure.
Okay, wait a minute. What if we wait until the cops talk to me about Crone's murder, establish my alibi, and leave me alone?
No, said Naomi.
a little louder than she'd meant. A few heads from nearby tables glanced over at the two women, stared, then went back to their own business.
They'll be on you for a long time. Crone's father is one of the richest men in the city. Powerful men like that will make sure the police do a thorough job. The police could be on you for months before they give up. No, you have to do this before you come under investigation. I'm at another group tonight, my child bereavement session. I'm there at 9 for an hour. That's your window. Now, tell me how you feel.
What?
He's dead. Tell me how that feels.
Amanda straightened in her chair, said,
I honestly don't know what to feel. Kind of happy, kind of empty, free. Like someone just hit a reset button on part of my life.
And I want that too, more than anything. You can give that to me. These men are a cancer. This is the right thing to do. Quinn raped and killed my daughter. And pedophiles don't just stop. They can't be cured. He'll do it again. You know it's only a matter of time before he rapes a girl. And if she tries to scream or tell someone, then he'll kill her. That's what happens. You know it, and I know it.
Amanda nodded, because Naomi was telling the truth. While she had been investigating Crone, Amanda had read every article and book she could find on child killers and serial killers. The scenario Naomi had just laid out was all too familiar. It followed what Pharaoh had told her about how these perverts turned into killers. It had happened before, many times.
It felt good, killing that prick Crone, said Naomi,
tears forming in her eyes as she gazed out of the window, unseeing, her internal vision replaying the memory perfectly.
He whined and screamed, and I swear to Jesus on the cross that I felt Rebecca beside me, willing me to stab that evil son of a bitch, end him. I walked out of that building feeling better than I have in years. And part of that was that I had a friend. I had you, and you were going to do the same for me.
Amanda hung her head. She understood what had to happen. She knew Naomi was right, and yet she couldn't think, couldn't focus. For the longest time, she had only felt one thing, hate for the man who'd killed her daughter. Now that it was gone, she couldn't adjust, not yet. And she was afraid of what she had to do now, even though she knew it was the right thing.
I'm not sure I can do it. I'm scared, said Amanda.
Naomi said,
You've got to be brave, girl. You can do this. How badly did you want Crone dead?
Oh, fuck, more than anything. I wanted that man to suffer for what he did. It's all I've been thinking about for months.
I've been feeling that way for years. You can do this. He's exactly like Crone, maybe even worse. I know you can do it.
Raising her trembling fingers to her lips, Amanda nodded. She had no choice now. Naomi reached out, took her hand.
I'm asking you, please, do this for me like I did this for you. You're stronger than you think. I know you can do it. You've just got to take Jess with you, Luis too. Put them right there beside you in your mind and your heart. There are monsters in this world, and laws don't apply to them. We have to do what we did thousands of years ago when we lived in caves. If a wolf came to the mouth of the cave, the first ones attacking it were the women, defending their children. Our children are gone.
A tear fell onto Naomi's cheek. She wiped it away with the back of her hand, sniffed, and said,
We were too late to save our kids. The only thing we can do now is kill the wolf.